Greetings to all of you this morning as we continue our worship service together. It's good to be home. Told my wife yesterday, I'm not sure that I'm ready to go home. Feels pretty good to be out there. You don't have to worry about getting up, going to work. Doesn't matter if it's cold or rainy or sunshine or whatever. That's a pretty good feeling. But reality is we have to come home. And so but it's good to be here in the familiar surroundings, familiar people. Last weekend at the Minister's Enrichment Weekend in Indiana, the topic was on enhancing congregational life. And so it was basically for ministers' encouragement. The first topic was on a Thursday evening, was the role of the pastor, which Cheryl's dad gave, and we weren't there in time to hear that. I was sorry about that. I would love to, but anyway, I'm sure it was good. And the second one was the role of the teacher, the role of spiritual gifts, and then the role of members. So it was just a good time of hearing from others' perspective from the Bible of what, find out what we're supposed to do, what our role is, and what the role of the church is as we work together and labor together. And it's interesting to hear from other people and to talk with them and to see what they're dealing with and what they're facing. And it seems like from Oregon, actually Alberta, Canada to Florida, the East Coast, people are pretty much people, from what I hear, pretty much we're the same. A lot of the same problems, a lot of the same things that we deal with and goes on within them. Then I was thinking of being around a Bible school with Dawson talking about Janessa, and it's a pretty big sprawling facility, and sometimes you rush from one place to the other, and it's one end of the building to the other end of the building, and then the bathrooms, there's always waiting lines, and there's people everywhere trying to make your way through, and they're trying to get to where they're going, and then there's people just standing there talking. And so it's, I don't know what Bible school's like. It'd be a few less people, I'm sure. But it's like, yeah, it's. I was ready to go into where it's not quite so crowded and so on. So it's good to be, again, in familiar territory. This morning you can turn to the St. John chapter 10. And then the way home, we stopped Friday at the Ark in Kentucky and went through that in a few hours. And again, just seeing the perspective of history, of Bible history, and what some of it is in basically what people's ideas of what it could have been like, should have been, or would have been. But some of it, of course, was probably reality as well. But it's a lot of things to absorb and to take in, and I'm not sure this message came from that. I was looking at this before that, but there are several scenes in there that stuck with me in just the life of Noah and what he experienced or possibly experienced. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of detail, but there is enough to know that there was opposition, and that he faced some tough things in doing something that they had never heard of and never seen and never needed, building a big boat when it hadn't rained, and so on. But I remember one scene of, and I'm not sure what this had to do with it, but they go from the creation, basically, of mankind and to the end of Jesus' life. And it gives a salvation story. But I remember seeing a scene of a corral where sheep were in, and outside the gate was this person sitting, guarding the sheep. And so this morning I want to talk about Christ, the Good Shepherd, and also being the door. And we'll read the first 18 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And a thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As a father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. As we look at these first five verses, verse 6 says that it was a parable that Jesus told them, and they didn't understand what he was talking about. And as I look at this, I see a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And I realize probably this chapter is more for pastors, maybe, than I guess I never quite associated as much with that as I did this time as I studied it. And some of the commentaries, that's all that they talked about. So that wasn't really where I was headed or wanting to do, and so that wasn't any help. But I see a relationship here between the shepherd and his sheep. Jesus said, he that doesn't enter by the door into the sheepfold, but he climbs some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And as I, again, see this view of this pen where the person was sitting guarding the gate, where the animals were in behind it, I'm thinking, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but as the hireling, the watchman is there. But as a shepherd comes, he doesn't have to climb over the gate, but he has a right to walk in. The gate opens. The porter, Jesus said, the porter opens the gate. The watchman, he opens the gate. And just a little more of, I'm sure you know more about this than I do, but they tell me in Eastern countries, at least in the past, they took their flocks, and the Bible talks about that. If you remember, when Jesus was born, the shepherds were out there on the hillside watching their flocks by night. And I often wondered about that, and putting it with this story, I thought of, well, how does that fit? It doesn't say they were, it's like, this gives the indication, and from history, where the shepherds brought their flocks to a central place where it's probably a big corral where they put their sheep in for safety for the night, and then someone was there to watch them. And so I think these shepherds out on a hill and they're keeping their flocks by night. So maybe they just decided not to come in and join a crowd. Or maybe that was where the central point was, where they were keeping, maybe they were the watchmen keeping all the flocks that were in the area. Very possibly. Doesn't really matter. But the relationship you see between the shepherd and the sheep, he said he knows them, he calls them by their name. The school children put on the play of Sylvia. Was it Sylvia? I think. Anyway, it was God knows my shoe size. Well, he does. If you need shoes and you there's no other way, God can know your shoe size. But the Bible says he knows our name. Doesn't that, what does that do for you? How does that make you feel to think that the shepherd of the sheep, not just this flock, but the, all the sheep worldwide, all the people in the world, he knows your name? Not only that, he knows how many hair you have or you don't have. Wow. How can that be? And so it's a good lesson for us as leaders too, to know our people. I'm sure that fits in there. And to know the needs that are there and to help them. But this is not about us. This is about, well, it is about us. It's about all of us as we are all together as sheep in this flock of sheep that our shepherd, Jesus Christ, is watching over and keeping us safe. So I see a good relationship. A stranger comes in, he says, the sheep aren't going to respond because they don't know the voice. They don't recognize it. And so he's helpless in that way. Let's go on down where Jesus explains this a little more. As I think of a door, there's lots of doors in this building and in our houses. Now, what does a door do? It keeps out the cold. The outside doors keep the cold out, keep the heat in. It keeps the unwanted guests, such as animals and spiders and then people that we don't want in the house. It keeps them out. So it creates an environment of safety and security within the borders of those walls. And that's what this sheepfold is really, what Jesus is talking about, the sheepfold. It's a security. In behind that gate, I would call it a gate probably in a corral, there's safety. The wolves, they have to either jump over or they have to go through the gate, and the watchman is there to keep them out. And so they are safe. They are secure. So a door is a symbol of protection, safety, security. And Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. I like that. He is the door. If you're going to get into the sheepfold, you have to go through Jesus. And if anybody's going to come in or anything's, there's nothing going to come in that he doesn't allow in or see. And so that gives us the safety and protection that we need, that we long for. I know that many, many people have lots of insecurities in their lives because of circumstances they have grown up in and have experienced in their lives. And it brings a lot of fear and so on. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is a door. We don't need to fear. We don't need to be afraid. We can feel safe. We can feel secure because Jesus is watching the door. He won't let anything bad happen in that way. And as we pass through the door, that is salvation. The only way we can be saved is through Jesus Christ. The world would say there are many ways to God, but the Bible says there's but one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. We can feel We can be and feel secure as we live in this world, going about Christ's business. Thinking about a door also, again, going back to the ark in Genesis 7:16, is you, if you've been there, and many of you have been to the ark, but if you can picture this big structure sitting out in the middle of nowhere and not an obvious place for a boat. But as Noah finished it and completed it and the animals all came, God brought the animals and as Noah took them in and put them in their places and so on, was all done just before it started raining. What did God do? I always thought it said God shut the door. Well, it's not what the Bible says. It says he shut them in. Well, it's a door, so he shut the door, but it's not the way the Bible described it. But he closed the door. I know I've seen pictures and Bible stories of people that came after it started raining and the water started rising, people rushing to the ark, beating on the sides of the ark, on the door, let us in, let us in. I don't know if that's the way it was or not. I can imagine it probably was. But all the same, God had shut the door. When God shut the door, there was no opening the door. There was no passing through. There was no getting in. Those that were in there, only 8 people and all those animals, were secure. They were safe. The door kept them from drowning. Jesus also said in Revelation 3:20, talking about the door, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. It's a way of entering in. That's what Jesus is saying. He wants to come into our hearts and into our lives. And so we need to open the door of our heart so that he can come in. And he said that he will sup with us and we with him. There will be a relationship. There will be we will talk together. We will fellowship together. How wonderful. We open the door of our heart to receive salvation and freedom from sin. And then verse 10, I need to hurry on here. Jesus talks again about the thief coming to steal. The devil is the thief. He is the one that's out trying to kill, steal, and destroy everything that God has done. Whatever God has done for you, the devil wants to take away. Or he brings, he offers some kind of alternative. He says, you can do this, you can go there, you can participate in this, you can do whatever. And it's okay. But just remember, he came to steal. To steal your joy, to steal your peace. He came to kill your faith, to take away your trust and belief in God. And you say, how can he do that? How can anyone ever get to that place? Unfortunately, there are people, even within our families. There's a niece that says she's now an atheist. She doesn't want anything to do with God. Personally, she's completely mixed up. There's a lot more things that she doesn't want or doesn't claim to be, and I don't understand how you could be that way. But Satan is able to, he has that power. But remember, only if you stay within the confines of the sheepfold, Satan can't get you. He can't come in there. But that's what he's after. If he can find a way, and he's not going through the door, he's going over the fence to get in. And in the end, he wants to destroy you completely. Take all your peace, your joy, your spiritual life. Not only that, your reputation. But Christ came to give us life, he says. The end of verse 10. But I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's you and me. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what he wants. He wants that for us with all his heart, with all his life, with all his blood. That's what he did. He gave his life so that we could have life. And not just life, not just to live hum-ho and whatever, but abundantly. I mean, there is vitality. There should be some spark in our life. That's what Jesus wants. That's what he came and he gave us. I realize some of us, some of you, I'm not really that kind of a person most of the time, but some of you have a lot of spark. I don't know if that's the right word, but you're just full of life, I guess. And that's good. And some more of us need a little more of that, so it can bubble out and so it, we can make a difference in the world. Okay, let's go on. Verses 11 and 14, Jesus talks about, he says, I am the good shepherd. And he says it twice. And I noticed he said that I am the door twice in the first part as well. I'm not sure what the significance is in that necessarily, but I believe it is. And so I'm going to look at Jesus being the good shepherd. And I'll read some verses that there are six things that that I have that describe what the good shepherd does. The first one is he provides. Psalm 23, 1 and 2, very familiar verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He provides for us. It's one thing the shepherd does. He is also tender. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Again, many times our ideas are formed by pictures that we see. And I don't suppose all the pictures we see are necessarily totally accurate according to biblical necessarily. But still, pictures are, they put a picture in your mind. And I see this, a picture of Jesus or the shepherd as he's out with his sheep. And the sheep runs off, or a lamb, and it gets over there and gets through the fence. And, you know, little lambs can go through just a little squares when they're little and they can get out, or little goats, kids, and then they can't find their way back in. So the sheep has to go, or, I mean the shepherd, he goes and he gets them and he helps them, he brings them back, puts them in where they belong, and then they do it again. And so maybe he, another time they're out and they're away and it's a distance and the little lamb is tired, so he picks them up and he carries them. That's what Isaiah, the picture he's painting here of Jesus carrying the lamb back. Could that be you? Could that be me? Sometimes he has to carry us. We think it's so hard and we look back and it's like the footprints in the sand. We find out there's only one set of footprints, and that's Christ. He is also sacrificial, John 10:11. The verse, one of the verses we read, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And number four, he is risen. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And then number five, he welcomes the wanderers. 1 Peter 2:25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And then number six, he crowns the faithful. 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Isn't that the kind of shepherd that you want, that you can trust in, you can depend on? This is what Jesus did. And as we go on, again, in John 17, verse 12, Jesus' high priestly prayer, as he prays to the Father, he says, those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost. And so the shepherd is able to keep his sheep together and to care for them and to help them. Let's look a little bit about the hireling. He said, "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. In other words, he doesn't own them. They're not his. So why should he give his life? Why should he take the scars or the danger of being killed by whatever the animal is? Why not just get away? It's his own life. And that's what he's looking after. We've heard a lot lately, and our Sunday evening's been about the discerning the spirits and so on. The Bible talks a lot about false prophets and false teachers and so on, to be looking out and to watching for them and knowing them. And I think one of the best ways to know is to know, to have a conversation and to have a relationship with the shepherd, so that we can discern the voice of the shepherd and we're not led astray by this other voice that comes along and is undiscerning. Another thing is to know what the shepherd has told us by reading the scriptures. Then when the untruth or that which appears to be partly true is presented, we know that it's not all the truth. And so we need to discern and go to the truth to find the truth. Don't just swallow everything you hear. And it might even be good edification for you to do, even from us. Dale and I it's certainly not our goal to mislead anyone, but we are human. And sometimes we do say things that we don't mean, or it doesn't come out the way we mean. I know I've caught myself in that, and I'm sure you have too. And so, look for yourself. Don't just take what I say, but look for yourself. Check it out. And if it's not right what I said, then disregard it. Tell me about it if you want to, but don't follow it. This is the map. You won't go wrong. This is a GPS, and it's better than a GPS. Me and a GPS don't get along. It doesn't work like I want it to work. And so, I don't know, maybe it's just ours. But anyway, so be careful. Verse 14 is, again, a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Luke 12:32, again, Jesus talking. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Don't you like that? What an invitation. It's the Father's good pleasure. He loves to. He wants to. Everything within him, his desire is to give you the kingdom of God, to experience this relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, he knows our name. He goes on to say here, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine." It's a two-way street. Not only do we know the shepherd, but he knows us as we fellowship, as we build this relationship together. Just as a father knows him, and he knows the father, that's our relationship. Their relationship is like this. It can't be separated. That's the way our relationship with the Father, or with Jesus Christ, needs to be as well. This is what he desires. This is what he wants. And he says, "I'm going to lay my life down for them, for the sheep." And he did that. And he said, there's other sheep. Not just this little group he was talking to, but he said there's more sheep that need to come into this fold as well. They need to hear his voice. And when I read this, I think of all the missionaries that are out there. That's what they're doing. They're fulfilling what Jesus said when he left in Matthew 28:29, I believe it is. Go out into all the world So sometimes there are some people that think they are the only sheep that are part of, they're going to be in this fold that Jesus is preparing. But that's not the case. It says all nations, all people, all kindred. Doesn't matter who we are. We're all children of the King. God wants us to be a part of His family. So again, He knows our name. He knows the number of our hair. He cares that deeply for each one of us. We also recognize His voice. We know each, and just as a father and a son know each other, so we know our shepherd and He knows us. In closing, I'd like to read John 17. Goes well with this chapter as well. And I simply read this as a blessing to each one of you, to encourage you, and to, my prayer is that you could sense Jesus in a little closer way, a little more personal way, as the shepherd does the sheep. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Me power of all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee. These things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and would declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let's stand together for prayer. Do we have a closing song?
827 in the
hymnary. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful this morning to be your children, to be considered a part of your family. We thank you, Jesus, for what you have done, and thank you for this picture that you have painted for us to be as a shepherd and caring for his sheep. Thank you for the love that you have for us, and that you were willing to give your life and to shed your blood. You were willing to die. We thank you for that. And we're grateful that you arose from the dead, that the tomb could not hold you, and today you are alive, and you are with us wherever we go by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your care for us today. I pray a blessing on each person that is here today. God, you know not only our name or the number of our hair or the size of our shoes, but you know what we're facing. You know what we're thinking, and you want to help us. So I pray, God, help us today to simply allow you to have complete freedom with us, to use us as you see fit. Help us to open the door of our heart to allow you to come in, and that you can fellowship with us and help us in life. Thank you for all that you do and are doing, and for what you're preparing for us. In the end, you will give us a crown of glory. Thank you. I pray again, keep us in your care, guide us with your love, and help us to walk faithfully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing?